All right, our reading is taken from Matthew chapter number 18, starting at verse number 12. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost." Amen. Now, I don't want you to grab nobody, but I do want you to turn to your neighbor. Get your neighbor's attention. Once you get your neighbor's attention, point at them so they know you're talking to them. Point at them. Point at them. I want you to point at them, and they are pointing at you. And you're going to say this statement to them. Neighbor, he's looking for you. Neighbor, he's looking for you. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "He's Looking for You." Now, as we look at Scripture and as we understand what is happening here, this chapter number 18 is a lot of information is being shared. Because in chapter 18, it starts off with the 12 disciples coming into the presence of Jesus, trying to say or ask Jesus, who is the greatest among them? You see, folk want greatness, but they don't want to put the work in. A lot of times we feel that it's going to be handed to us, or sometimes we just think we deserve it. But then Jesus had to let them know, and he went and got a child, and he brought the child in their presence. He said, "If any of you become like this child, then you will be like the greatest in heaven." And then he goes on to explain to them that they are to take care of the little ones. The little ones, we're not talking about little kids. We're talking about those who are babes in Christ. Jesus wants them to understand is that it's important for us to nurture those who are babes in Christ. Because when we first come to Christ, y'all, we don't have teeth. We have to drink it with the milk. And through getting the milk in us, it helps build up our spiritual strength so that we can get our spiritual teeth. Are you working with me? For the sole purpose that we will be prepared for the meat. But what is also important for us to understand is that some folk have been guilty. What have we been guilty of? We started off with Jesus. We was on fire for Jesus. All right. But something happened, and it caused us to go astray. And it was a decision that we made based on maybe what we saw. We might have saw how folk acting in the church. It's like, I ain't going to be a part of that. Or maybe it was something that distracted you. Like what distracts a sheep is that if a sheep sees that the grass is greener somewhere else other than where they are, they leave where they are and they go chew on that grass. But it looked greener, but when they started tasting, they realized it was nasty. So rather than go back, when they lifted up their head, they saw grass was greener a little further down the road a piece. And they went down there and they started grazing on that and said, this tastes worse than the other stuff. And before they know it, they've strayed so far away, they don't know how to get back. You see, the thing that Jesus is letting us know as we're about to go and look at this, there are some folk who said something in church or embarrassed themselves and feel that they can't go back because they're too embarrassed to go back. Their pride just won't let them go back and say, I made a mistake. And then there are some folk who have left. Might have been creating all kinds of problems. And when they left, we said, I'm so glad they're gone, and I hope they don't ever. Can we just be real today? But what I want you to understand, them are the kind of folk, you got to have a few of them around because you're glad that they're around. Oh, you're looking at me crazy, but let me tell you why. Them are the folk that keep you praying. Them are the folk that keep you focused. Them are the folk that help you to say, Lord, I got to trust in you, because if I don't trust in you, I'm going to cuss somebody out. I might smack at somebody up in here. But Lord, I just want to make sure I'm doing it your way and according to your will. So, what do we see here in this scripture? Check this out. When we look at verse number 12, Jesus is about to explain and express something to the disciples. And what is he about to tell them? Check this out. He says, what do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? You see, there's something we have to realize here. The shepherd knows how many sheep he has. If he knows he took 100 up into the mountains, he knows when he comes back down, he wants to come back down with a. So that means he's constantly looking over his flock, counting how many he has to ensure that none of them have faced any harm. So he's looking at the flock. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 90, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, wait a minute. One's missing. And as he goes to inspect, as he's inspecting, what he sees is that he sees the steps that the sheep took as it went astray. But the scripture specifically says that they were on the mountains. So he has 100 on the mountain, but now one has strayed away. So what does he do? He leaves the 99 on the mountaintop. You see, I get excited when I look at that mountaintop. You see, because I think about where the Lord first met us. We were not on a mountaintop when we met Jesus. We was down in the valley in the muck and the mire, and nobody but Jesus came to clean us up, fix us up, put us together, and he took us up to the mountain. And that mountain was a place we had never been before. And now that the Lord has taken us up to the mountain, we see life from a different perspective. You see, being on the mountaintop allows you to look down at the stuff that used to trouble you. And you realize it ain't as big as you thought it was. You see, while you were standing next to it, it looked big. You were overwhelmed by it. But that's why the Lord said, let me elevate you up. Let me bless you. Let me take you to a place you have not been. Let me show you that there's something more and bigger than where you are. And you're able to look down at that and say, Lord, I thank you. Because if it hadn't been for you, that which I was dealing with in the valley, when it got the best of me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Aren't you glad the Lord took you up to the mountaintop? Aren't you glad that the Lord changed your life? Aren't you glad that he didn't leave you stuck where you are? When I think about all that God has done for me, I can't help but say thank you. You see, my brothers and sisters, he took us to the mountaintop. But one on the mountain thought The grass was greener somewhere else. Someone who was led up to the mount. Reverend Rose, they got up there and said, well, this grass is green. Tastes pretty good too. But I think it's a little, it looks greener over there. So I'm pretty sure if it looked green, that means it must taste better. Everything that looked good, my brothers and sisters, ain't necessarily good for you. Everything that looked good, I also want you to know, it don't necessarily taste good. You see, when the Lord is taking you somewhere, don't you know that wherever the Lord is taking you, that's the best place for you and I to be? There's no better place than where the Lord is guiding us. You know, I don't know about you, but I tried it on my own, and I realized it didn't work too well. And when I thought I knew what was best, don't you know it was kicking my butt? But it's when I said, Lord, let thy will be done. Guide me and direct me. And as God guided me and directed me, I realized there was no better path. There was no better blessings. I want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, even if you're thinking about going astray, don't do it. But that one sheep, Chris, that one sheep just thought it was better over there. So when the shepherd left the 99 to go get that one, the shepherd knew the 99 was going to be all right. You know why he knew the 99 were going to be all right? Because you know what the 99 were looking? They were looking up to the shepherd and looking down at what they had. They weren't wandering, looking left and looking right. They were focusing on where they were and what they had. You see, my brothers and my sisters, folk get into a whole lot of trouble when you try to look at what everybody else got. You can't live for nobody, because what God has for you is for you. You got to learn how to appreciate what you got, because if you can't appreciate what you got, don't expect God to give you more. If you're trying to appreciate what other folk got and say that I want what they have, you are already messing yourself up. And as you begin to do that, before you know it, your eye starts to stray. And you're looking everywhere rather than what God has blessed you with. So he knew I could leave the 99, because they have their act together. They're focusing on what they got. So he follows the tracks of that one that went astray. But I can see the 99 looking at one another every now and then and say, well, I don't know about that one. We attempted to tell them, don't go nowhere. Didn't want to listen. So whatever happens to them is on them, because ain't nothing but predators out there. Look over there. You see that wolf over there? It ain't coming nowhere near us, because he know that we got a good shepherd. Look at that bear over there looking at us, licking his lips, but know that it can't come out and come to us, because he knows that our shepherd will tighten him up. So I'm not going to step out and take a chance, because I know right now I'm in the good hands of a good shepherd. And since I'm in the good hands of a good shepherd, I ain't going to allow myself to go astray. But this sheep, we got to get back to that one sheep that has now gotten off track, has now lost its way. And now that it's lost its way, I want you to understand something. Those predators that have been watching the sheep was just waiting to see if one was going to go astray. And as they saw that one going astray, they didn't want to pounce on it too soon. Because if they pounced on it too soon, it'd make too much noise, and the shepherd would know where they are, and the shepherd would come and get the predator. So what they are just hoping is that that sheep continues to wander further and further away. And all the other sheep just shake their head like, look at that fool over there. That's all right. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right where I am. And I want you to know, as that sheep went further and further astray, the predator, Deacon Wiley, was hot on the track, not making any kind of noise, and just said, when you get far enough away, ooh, you're going to be a good meal for me. But I want you to know that the good shepherd had already counted his sheep and realized one had gone astray, and he was already following the tracks And he was making his way to that sheep. But I want you to know that that predator was about a good 4 or 5 feet away. Getting ready to say, I'm about to have myself a good meal. And before it could pounce on the sheep, the shepherd snatched it up. Stepped in just in the nick. Don't you know that same thing is true about us? All of us have at one point strayed from the Lord. But the Lord came and snatched us up, y'all, just in the nick of time. But we're going to act like we always been what we are right now. We don't realize that we was once toe up from the flow up. And if it had not been for the Lord who stepped in right on time, we wouldn't be where we are right now. So tell me, how are we going to come to church now and act like we got everything so together, that we are so great? It is nothing but God's grace and mercy that has kept us the way we are. God's grace and mercy that has protected us. But we're going to come here and say, it just takes a little clap. You see, the real question is this. Why would I leave 99 that are listening to go get one that won't listen? Why would I leave the 99 who I love and love me back for one that doesn't receive my love and appreciate it, but just goes its own way? We have to know something about the God whom we serve. Yeah. God loves you. Yeah. God loves me. Thank you, Lord. And there's nothing we can do to ever cause God to stop loving us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are some folk who have strayed and think that they don't have a right or deserve a right to come back into the favor of God. Look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, God's favor never left you. Did you hear what I just said? You heard what your neighbor told you? God's favor has never left you. You might have stepped away from God's favor, but God's favor has never left you. God has never stopped loving you in spite of what you have done. Even though you think you don't deserve it, God said, it's not what you think, it's what I know. You see, and Jesus, and then what the Father did was send Jesus down here to let us know how much God favors you and I. Because Jesus came for us, not while we were at our best, but while we were at our worst. While we were out there astray, toe up from the flow up, doing all the things we were big and bad enough to do. Isn't that when the Father sent the Son down here for us? And what did the Son do for us? He stretched his arms wide and he took the sin of the world to that cross so that you and I could have an opportunity to have life and have it more abundantly. It was nobody but God who has blessed us. Nobody but God who has shaped us. Nobody but God who has fixed us. Nobody but God who has the best for us. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand that it's nobody but the Lord who has been there with us through thick and through thin? He ain't never give up on you. He's going to hang in there with you through thick and through thin. I know you ain't got it all together. God ain't asked you to get it all together. All he is saying is say, stay with me. You see, my brothers and sisters, as we look at this, he's looking for you. You know why he's looking for you? Because he's your favorite. Because you are his favorite. Let me break it down to you like this. Can I go on and break it down to you like this? You see, when I was passing out in Louisa County, I had a member at our church. And she was one of 9 children. And every so often, her mother would come and visit us. Her mother was in her late 80s and early 90s. But she had so much spunkin'. Mother Austin reminds me a lot of her. A lot of spunkin'. Excitement for the Lord at her age and having 9 babies. And I went to her home going celebration back in 2001. And the kids were talking. Now, of course, they all grown and got their own kids and grandkids. And the kids was talking with one another. Remember, Rose, you know what they found out? All right. Is that each one of them was saying the same thing. One of the children said, you know what? Mama called me in one day. Said she wanted to talk to me. And she said to me, you know, I love you. And you're my favorite. And all nine of those siblings had the same story. The same story that they all had was that they were their mama's. Don't you know that's the same story we have with our God? You see, our God is big enough to love all of us and call all of us his. Don't you know? Look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, I'm God's favorite. You see, what you want, God wants us to know is that you are his favorite. Why? Because you have value. You are one of his. He paid the ultimate price for you to be one of his favorites. And I want you to understand, when you understand who you are and whose you are, you ain't gonna ever be concerned with going astray. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's looking for you. Let him know, but I said, all right, I'm here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He's looking for me, but I'm here, and I thank God he brought me here. Why did he bring me here? Because I'm one of his. Amen. You see, my brothers and sisters, since you know that you have the favor of God, then you have no reason to ever go astray. Because it is not the will of the Father for any of the little ones to what? Be lost. And I want you to know, since we know that we ain't lost, don't we got something to be excited about? Don't we have something to praise God for? Because God already told me that I am his. I want you to know that I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care where you fall short. I don't care how you stumble. I don't care if you fell flat on your face. God says that you are my favorite. And since you are one of God's favorite, why are you going to act like God ain't done a whole lot for you? He loves you. And how does he love you? Just the way you are. I don't know about you, but I'm one of God's favorites. Do I got any of God's favorites in the house? Do you know that God, that you are God's favorite? Go on and give him some praise, because you are God's favorite. I don't care what other folks say. I know I might not have the biggest house. I might not drive the best car. I might not be the most educated. I might have some struggles in my life, but that's all right. I'm still God's. And since I'm his favorite, I ain't got to wait for somebody to tell me I need to love my daddy. Because I know that my daddy loves me. Because my daddy wants me to have a personal relationship with him. Don't you know that's why when any of us stray, he comes to see us? Because it's about him establishing that personal relationship. You see, you know why he wants to have that personal relationship with you? Because you are his. Nobody gonna work with me. When you understand that the Father wants to have a personal relationship with you. And why? Because you are his what? Don't ever lose your position. No, because you can't lose your position. You've got to keep reminding yourself. I might not dot all my I's and cross all my T's. I might not always do it right when it's supposed to be done. But I'm going to thank him because I know that I'm God's what? And since I'm his favorite, when I walk up in this place, I ain't going to come here with my head dropped down. I'm going to hold my head up high because I'm my daddy's favorite child. Do I got some folk who know how good God is? I know we ain't always been good. I know we ain't always deserved it. But the Father says that we are his. You see, when you understand your position, then you're able to move in your purpose. Because if you don't understand your position, your purpose ain't gonna make sense. And you know what your purpose is? Now that you understand your position, your purpose is to go out and tell other folk, you can be God's favorite. Right now, I'm his favorite. But are you gonna be God's favorite as well? You see, my brothers and sisters, somebody told you about Jesus. Somebody who was his. Oh, are you about to catch on now? Somebody who was one of his has told you about Jesus. And now that you're one of God's, it is your job to tell somebody else about. You see, my brothers and sisters, it's about value. It's about personal relationship. Thank God that we have what's called corporate worship. Community worship. Why do we come together? Because we all come because we all are God's. And now that we're here to worship, we're here to praise him, thank him, magnify his holy name, because there's nobody but him who has brought us this far and will take us all the way, because we understand that I am God's what? You see, because I can't tell you how much God can love you until I know God loves me for myself. And when I know how much God loves me, I know he's got enough love to go around to the entire world. Because if that wasn't true, he never would have sent Jesus. And the words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Those words wouldn't mean nothing if God ain't have enough love for the entire world. That means that the entire world, everybody in this world individually, can be God's what? You see, my brothers and my sisters, I don't care how folk talk about you, how they laugh at you. That's all right, because I know I'm one of God's. I know I got trials and tribulations, and I have to go through the storm. I got to deal with this, and I got to deal with that. But that's all right, because I'm still one of God's what? I know sometimes I got to go through some struggles. I know sometimes everything don't work the way I want it to work. But I go on and praise God anyway, because I know I'm one of God's what? See, because when you understand your position, then you can move forward in your purpose. Your purpose is to go to the highways and the byways and let other folk know that they can become one of God's what? Amen. You see, when you know how good God is, you just can't keep it. You got to tell, because I'm one of God's what? Do I got any folk in here who realize how good God has been? Do I got any folk in here who the Lord went looking for and didn't he find us? Aren't we here because we've been found? I tell you, we got something to be excited about, because our God is excited about us. But wait, I got to give you this last thing. The one thing I got to give you is that when the shepherd found the sheep, it tells us that the shepherd, what did the shepherd do, y'all? The shepherd rejoiced, because that which was lost has now been what? So don't you know, whenever we go astray and the Father brings us back home, you know what he does? He rejoices. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know what they do? They rejoice. So why is it that we look at folk when they come back and we just look, they should have never left anyway? Rather than going on and praising God and say, God, it's because of your grace and mercy, I did not go astray. It's because of you in my life, and because you have guided me. I made some mistakes, but I didn't make enough to cause me to drift. And Lord, and just because others have drifted, I don't look down on nobody. Because guess what, Lord? You could have looked down on me a long time ago. So whenever I see somebody come back, I'm going to what? Oh, y'all, I got to go 3 more minutes. Y'all didn't get it. I got to go 3 more minutes. I thought you was with me. You weren't with me. But let me go on and break it down like this. You see, when I think about all that God has brought us through, you know, I know sometimes we go through some hellacious weeks. Amen. It seemed like some weeks, boy, it seemed like no matter what direction we turn, it seemed like everything starts breaking down. And you just saying, Lord, I just can't wait till Sunday get here. The Lord said, why you got to wait till Sunday? Go on and start rejoicing right now. I know you're in the storm right now. Go on and start rejoicing. Because when you understand how good I've been and I am going to be, you ain't got to wait for a Sunday to shout. You're going to shout whatever day of the week it is. But when you finally get to church on Sunday and you start seeing how there were some folk who had been out in the storm a long time, but now they finally come into the church and they come saying, Lord, I surrender all. And that's time for the saints of God to begin to what? Because you understand that, and you know what it's like to go through a storm, and the only reason why you stayed anchored is because you had Jesus anchor you. You was anchored on the rock. You were brought through because of the Lord. And when you see other folk who have been tossed and turned by the storm, and now they're saying, Lord, I'm coming back to you, it's time for the church to. When you think about all that our God has done, is doing, and will doing, that in itself is a reason for us to what? Because our God has been mighty good to us. He came looking for us when other folk would have left us for dead. But I thank God he came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. He wouldn't let us stay stuck out there in the cold. I'm so glad he brought me on the inside. I got anybody who's glad to be on the inside? I tell you, he's looking for you. And I thank God he found me. So glad that he found me. And you know the interesting thing is, when he finds us, he takes us back to the mountaintop. Some folk don't know why you shout the way you shout. They don't know what the Lord has done for you. They don't know how messed up you were. They don't know how you drifted. All they know is they see you the way you are right now. And the way you are right now doesn't show all the stuff you've been through. Remember, there's a sermon I preached a long time ago. You don't look like what you've been through. And you know what? I'm excited about who my God is, because my God has brought me a mighty long way. Why did he do that? Because I'm God's what? And that's not just my story, that's also what? Your story. You see, when you understand that you're one of God's favorites, you don't ever come into this house waiting for somebody to tell you it's time to praise the Lord. When you understand how good our God is and what he brought you through, you can't help but praise him, because you realize how your life was prior to Jesus. When you are up on that mountaintop looking down at that valley, it causes your heart to ache, saying, Lord, you could have left me down there, but I'm thanking you to where you brought me to. Do I got any folk who understand how good our God is? And you know what God will do? He will take us and send us back to the valley, because there's still some folk lost in the valley. And when we go down there, we bring them back up to the He's looking for you, and I'm so glad he found me. And now that I've been found, I can't help but praise his. Because I'm not what I used to be. I might not be all that I ought to be, but I'm pressing my way on to be better each and every day. Do I got any folk in here who understands that you are God's favorite? If you are God's favorite, I want you to turn to three folk, give them a high five and say, I'm God's favorite. Are you seeing that? I'm God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. Are you understanding this? When I understand, when you understand your position, your purpose gets easy. I recognize you ain't perfect. Guess what? Neither am I. But God isn't looking for perfect folk. He's looking for folk who are going to move in purpose, because you understand your position. So when we go, we're going looking for the Lord. When I say looking for the Lord using us to go get those who are what? Lost. Sheep bring more sheep. Well, pastor going to do, I ain't but one. There's a whole lot more of y'all than it is me. And if all of us took the effort to bring one every week, we'd have to build that other building so fast. It's going to be built, but we'd have to build it even faster. Because sheep bring sheep. If you ain't excited about who you are, whomever you talk to ain't going to be excited about what you're saying. Do I need to say that again? If you are not excited about who you are, others aren't going to be excited about what you're saying. Oh, I serve a mighty good God. He's just been good to me. Brought me a mighty long way. He loved me. He told me I'm his favorite. Don't you want to come church with me? If folk in your church are like that, I don't want to come. If they talk like that, I don't want to come. I serve a mighty good God who brought me a mighty long way. I am one of his favorites. And guess what? I want you to come so you can learn that you're one of his favorites too. Oh, wait a minute. I might have to come with you. You might not be loud like me. I know I'm loud. But all I'm saying is you got to have some enthusiasm. Be inspired by who our God is. Because our God loves us. Why? Because we have value. And he loves us. And God told me, I'm his favorite.